Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. It's Florida's best craft beer. BigStormBrewery.com. Check out all the fantastic beers and search for where to find it in your community through the Storm Tracker at BigStormBrewery.com. Ira Kaufman watches every Buccaneers road game at the Big Storm Tap Room in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Olmerton Road.
I think in a way that symbolizes what's going on with this team. I'm glad I finished that vanilla donut. Is it ludicrous? Very scary thought for Buck opponents. What the heck's going on around here?
Buccaneers fans, 5-1, sitting on top of the NFC South. 6 weeks are in the book. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring your favorite sage, the only sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the King of Newport Richie, the custodian of Canton, Uncle Ira himself, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here, and we are fired up to talk about the state of the Bucks because it's never been better, Ira. Never been better. And all this fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford. Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. Family owned, 61 years, featuring the nationwide lifetime warranty on used vehicles and new cars and trucks. Bill Curry Ford, GM Sean Sullivan, is waiting to help you personally. He'll take your Bucks questions. He'll hang out with you. He'll treat you like you're his best buddy, brother. Whatever you need, you reach out to him, even if it's auto body work or just an opinion on a lease you need to get out of. BillCurryFord.com. That's where to find Sean. And you can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, Google Podcasts. The list goes on, and of course at JoeBucksFan.com. If you subscribe at one of these platforms, you get a little alert to your phone when the podcast posts. We're jacked up. Ira, it's a Sunday evening, and you have probably had 3.5 bagels and 2 hot dogs today, and I know that you just polished off a vanilla frosted donut. Sage, how are you?
I'm doing well. I almost had a calamity here, Steve. I put my Dunkin' Donuts coffee in my little container here, in that little spot where you put it, and it was on an angle. I didn't realize it, and I looked a minute later, and it was tilted over, and 90% of the coffee was out, and I had my phone in the next compartment. Thankfully, this phone's still working, Lee. It's unbelievable. Gentlemen, as far as this local football team is concerned, one team in the league's got a better record. Tip your hat to Arizona. Another nice win today for the Cardinals. Well done. But Lee, correct me if I'm wrong, Lee, I believe the Bucks are the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl at this moment. I believe they are, with the demise of the Chiefs over the last 3 weeks. They were the only team that was ahead of the Bucks, and I think the Bucks are number one. Steve, you wanted another couple of points per game on the offense, and guess what? You're getting it, Steve. You're getting it. I know they only got 28 last week. I know that. But this offense is tremendous. Especially with the way Fournette's running the football. Yes, Lee, they have balance, Mr. DeKemper. They have balance. Brady's unbelievable. Let's face it. You can't sack the guy. You can't rattle the guy. Who needs Gronkowski right now? I know that sounds crazy.
Ooh.
And you know what? Philadelphia's defense is not bad, especially the pass defense. I think they were third in the league going into the game. And Brady did whatever he wants. Steve, I think it's to the point. And I know this sounds crazy, but when the Bucks go 3 and out, people think it's like a calamity. What the heck's going on around here? Lee, you're not going to score on every possession, but this is one whale of an offense. We're not used to that around here.
No, of course not. You think of the Bucks, you think defense, believe it or not. Except for the last decade, they thought of a toilet. They thought of defense outside the last decade. And for the Bucks to have an offense and a quarterback, you know me, I was a James fan, still am. He was their best quarterback until they lucked into a Hall of Famer. And the Bucs' offense is fantastic. I'm not one of these people, throw the ball. I look at what you have on the table. And what they have on the table is one of the greatest passing offenses the league has ever seen. Therefore, I believe they should throw, and throw again. I don't give a damn who's 44, who's 30, doesn't matter to me. What do you have on the table? this is my mentality. Our rival in high school, after I had graduated, their coach absolutely despised the wishbone. Playing against the wishbone, I agreed with him. He absolutely hated the wishbone. So did I, because it drove me nuts trying to figure out who the hell had the ball. This guy didn't have a quarterback 1 year. 2 years after I graduated, this coach didn't have a quarterback. He had four stud running backs. He asked four different coaches that he respected. He goes, I almost want to stab myself talking about this, but should we run a wishbone? And he saw, and these coaches all said, man, you got the talent to run the wishbone. So he went out and hired a coach to run the wishbone. He told the coach, I don't even want to know about it. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to watch it, but this is what we have. Let's do it. They won a state championship. And that's the way I am. Your talent determines what you should do. And that's why I want to throw the ball so much, because I don't think this franchise will have this kind of passing talent in our lifetime. And I don't want them to waste that talent. Nothing more complicated than that.
Steve, the only reaction you could possibly have after that long diatribe by Dick Kemper is the image, the vision of Lee DeKemper running gassers. Lee DeKemper running gassers on a football field. All I can say is, Steve, I'm glad I finished that vanilla donut before he started that story. It might be all over my car right now. But I understand what he's saying, but Lee, you're also about production. 3 weeks in a row, Leonard Fournette has been productive.
Productive, but the 26 points or 28 points for this offense, that's subpar.
I think it's fair to say they had 35 points. They just didn't feel like scoring at the end, and so I'm
which was financially beneficial to me.
Yeah,
yeah, what a beat that was.
People Twitter us, Steve, and they were wondering if that was some kind of setup. You know, well, so is everyone's getting paid? What's going on here?
Steve, I want to talk about that 3rd and 7 play. First of all, excellent catch by Antonio Brown. Nice throw by Brady. Signature play of the game, in a sense. But here's my point. Steve, I've been watching this team for 35 years. 35 years. For 25 of those years, if not more, they had leads in the middle of the fourth quarter, and they could not convert that 3rd and 7 and maintain possession and run the game out. They couldn't do it. And they turn it over to what was probably usually a lousy defense. And Steve, they would find a way to lose the game. Now, I don't want to boil down this 5-1 start to one throw. But Steve, I think in a way that symbolizes what's going on with this team. They now know what to do with leads. We certainly know what Brady knows how to do with comebacks, but it's equally as important when you got a lead, Lee, to be able to keep it. And Brady does it time and again. And that 3rd and 7 pass to Brown, it broke the hearts of the Eagles and secured that victory.
I'll reinforce your point. Not specifically about that pass, but Peter Schrager was talking about the last drive. He goes, here are the Eagles, they score a touchdown, Jalen Hurts. They come within a touchdown, crowd's going nuts, home game, prime time. You know, they can feel it. They just need one stop, just one stop. They got a chance to steal a win. What happens? The Bucs didn't give them the chance. And Peter Schrager said, that's what championship teams do. They don't give a team a chance to steal a win.
Ira, come on. Ira, I got to smack you around. What is going on here? You know, Peyton Manning used to have a phrase. He said when he would be asked about all his record number of second half comebacks, he'd say that just means that I played like shit in the first half. I can't sit here and be like, oh, the Bucks and this 3rd and 6 play, the Eagles never should have been back in the game. The Bucks got a lead, and that somehow the defense fell apart. The offense couldn't move the ball. And yes, of course, we get a 3-and-out and we freak out, but the bar is high and rightfully so. And when the Eagles march down to get within 6, like they did with that 2-point conversion, for some reason, Todd Bowles pulls Vita Vea off the field for most of that drive until they get within the 10-yard line. It shouldn't have even gotten there. So I'm going to maintain, Ira, this team is awesome. but it has yet to play 60 minutes. And when are we going to flick the switch? When are we going to have that game where we really see them just hit all the style points we're looking for? Yes, they did a great job against Miami, but they don't have a lot of great teams on the roster this year, on the schedule. So they have to figure out a way to motivate themselves to play some 60-minute football. You know, they've only played two good teams all year. The other teams are no good. New England lost today, fighting hard, but yes, they lost today again. They played two good teams, and, you know, a cynic would say they could be 0-2 very easily if Dallas was kicking field goals. So I want to see them do better, Ira. We believe they're going to do very well this season, but I got to set the bar higher, Sage.
I don't disagree with you, Steve, but they are 5-1, and I know Lee's going to follow up by saying, you know, what Barcells said, you are what your record says you are. But, Steve, you're right. Even the Miami game, it was a little dicey late in the third quarter. It wasn't a blowout until the fourth quarter. You're right. They played the Rams. They were outplayed. They played Dallas. You could argue they were outplayed. They have not played a 60-minute game, Steve. You are correct. And, you know, New Orleans is coming up. Maybe they gear up, certainly for Buffalo. That game's not until December, Lee. But, Lee, they're winning the games you got to win. And while the bar is set very high, Lee, you can't sneeze at 5-1. They got room for growth, and I think they're poised for a big closing 6 weeks. I think with the guys coming back, I think they're going to be in good shape. The reason I picked the Eagles, tweeted at halftime, what the hell was I thinking? I guess I wasn't. I thought that Brady thumb thing was going to be a problem. I did. And he downplayed it the whole week, but Lee, it's his throwing hand. And he goes out there and plays an excellent game. I didn't see any floating passes and floating ducks, Lee. This guy is like Superman. Since he got hurt, Lee, I think it was 2008, maybe, the guy's been indestructible. Lee, indestructible. And as long as he's standing, I like the Buck chances.
Brady's thumb, who knew what that was going to be?
Short week.
So yeah, it wasn't like you're coming out of left field with that. So
that's right.
It wasn't a ridiculous, crazy prediction. You know, I don't think you should have to apologize. I know there's some people out there that get wigged out if someone doesn't pick the Bucks to go undefeated. That's just nuts. One thing to be a fan, and another thing to be reasonable. You know?
Ira, I got to plead guilty, Sage. I'm the one who put on Twitter at Joe Bucks fan. As soon as the Bucks jumped out to a big lead, Ira had to put it out there. Ira picked the Eagles to win, so please throw your digital darts to him.
I saw it, Steve. Now, one more point about the Eagles. Tell me if I'm making too much of this, but first of all, the first half defense was sensational. Bucks. I thought it was sensational. Hurts had no answers. They were all over him. They gave him no breathing room. They didn't even try to run the ball. Shame on Philadelphia. You got to at least try. Miles Sanders is not bad. You got to give him more than one carry. You got a quarterback who's getting clobbered out there. But, Steve, here's my point. Two big interference penalties. I without them, I don't think Philly's even in this game. The Bucs were in control. But, Lee, you know my old maxim. You got to throw three or four deep balls. You'll complete one, and you'll get at least one flag. Well, they got two. One was for 45, Lee. One was for 50. Without them, the Bucks win this game going away.
I'm not complaining. You know, I'm not criticizing the Eagles. If you don't think you can run, and the Bucks obviously are a very good run defense, then why waste downs? It's interesting. It's cool that teams aren't even going to try to run against the Bucks. They think it's a lost cause, and that's pretty cool. With the secondary as banged up as it is, I don't blame teams at all.
Ira, a disaster in your home, fire, wind, mold, flood. That means you call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. No hesitation whatsoever. Florida's EliteRestoration.com has all the information. You call them 24/7. They will come to your home and give you a free assessment of what's happening. They will help you work with your insurance company if that's what it takes to make sure you don't get ripped off and to get the job done right. They are licensed mold remediation specialists. Owner Josh Martin, he's got 14 years experience as an insurance adjuster. Now he's on the other side As owner of Florida's Elite Restoration, helping businesses who work with clients like air conditioning repair companies, plumbers, property managers, and individual homeowners to make sure their disaster is fixed quickly, efficiently, and really the best possible way so you don't get ripped off. It's a tough industry. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. That's where you go immediately.
Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Call Josh Martin at Florida's EliteRestoration.com. And Steve, up next are the Bears. I don't believe their best running back, Montgomery, will be ready for that game. He's still out with a twisted knee. So they got a running quarterback in Fields. It's the same type of situation. Maybe Chicago's defense is a little better than Philly's, maybe. But Steve, here comes another team without much of an offense.
Sage, let me run this past you since this was a screaming mantra of yours for a while, and we've touched on it already on a few levels, but we didn't go to the meat of the matter, Ira. You have said many times, I want to see if you're ready to come off this stance. You have said many times, hey, if Brady's throwing 40 times a game, 45 times a game, he's not gonna stand up. This is not the way it's going to go. He's not going to last. Well, Leonard Fournette has run the ball very well the last few games. We've seen the balance that we were sort of looking for. Yet in the last three games, Brady threw 42 times against Philly, 41 times against Miami, 43 times against New England. So, I mean, even when they're playing well and in command and don't have to throw, he's averaging 42 throws a game. Is that too much, Ira? Are you ready to say it doesn't matter how much he throws the ball?
The prospect of 700 pass attempts. I mean, that's what we're on course for. To me, that's a little scary. It's a little scary. 44 years old, 700 throws, and I'm counting the extra game, 17. That's a tough number. They are running the ball well right now. Rojo's not getting much action. He's not. But I can't complain right now. Brady's healthy. He's not taking a lot of hits. I just think it's a little bit of an unnecessary risk right now. They're winning the battle. They're winning what I consider a little bit of a gamble. Lee's very happy with the 42 throws. Lee says, why not make it 50? Make it an even 50. And here we go. I'll tell you one thing that I've noticed, Steve, and this might contribute to the 42 throws. Three games in a row. Three. So this is not a one-game trend. The Bucs have had more than 20 snaps more than the opposition. 20. Not seven. That tells me they're dominating the trenches, dominating time possession. That's a great formula for winning. They don't turn the ball over very much. And with so many snaps, Lee, that gives Brady more chances. It's not like they're getting 55, you know, offensive plays. They're getting 73. And so then he's going to average, you know, 44 passes. But right now, I got no leg to stand on, but I don't like the idea of 700 throws in a season.
I hear you.
I don't like not outscoring the opposition. That's what I don't like. I if you don't use your strength, you're irresponsible. Bill Parcells' stat, and he had a stat. You may have heard this. If you add up your rushing attempts, not yards, attempts, rushing attempts, you add that with pass completions, and it doesn't matter how you know, 10 rushing attempts or 80 rush attempts. If your rush attempts and your pass completions add up to 51 or more, however you do it, if it adds up to 51 or more, that means your offense is executing well.
Wow, I've never heard that, Lee. I've never heard that. That means sort of maybe 51 positive plays. 51 positive
yeah,
plays.
Yeah, I think you
Yeah, if you look at it like that.
But it's not your it's attempts.
If Lee's going to accentuate that you go to your strengths, Steve, doesn't that beg the question that I should be doing another couple of columns a week, Isbitz?
For the same price, sure.
He's speechless. That doesn't happen.
Speechless, Ira, speechless. All right, Sage. Well, look, Brady's actually on pace for 756 attempts. So it's way ahead of the 700 mark. He's going to break the 700 mark if he doesn't get hurt. So I don't think his arm's going to fall off. I'm really not worried about that. But I understand it opens him up to more hits, more numbers, and potentially. Of course, the O-line has been absolutely fantastic. And why not throw if you're just standing there in a clean pocket? I got to ask you this, Ira, because it's a little bit unique, very kind of rare to hear. Vita Vea was on SiriusXM NFL Radio on Friday, and he was asked about the challenges this season. And Vea, 6 weeks into the season, says that the challenge this year is to fight that urge to be complacent. I thought that was very interesting. He was very clear-headed on this, that, to quote, fight that urge to be complacent. And that's just kind of a weird thing to hear after a week six game. Yeah, maybe first 3 weeks of training camp or something. But Super Bowl hangover is a real thing. The Bucs haven't experienced it, although maybe in some ways they have. What do you make of that coming from Vita Vea?
Your analysis is spot on there. That is the classic quote of August 5th. August 5th, the end of the first week of training camp. Got to fight off complacency, and everybody would understand that. Even Arian said that was a priority, maybe the priority, at least as far as the coaching staff was concerned. And that's the mantra that they repeated time and again. So, Steve, now he's saying it after six games. You know what? In a way, that kind of might support your point, although I hate supporting any point you make. But it might support his point, Lee, and that the Bucs can be considerably better than they've shown through 6 weeks. Very scary thought for Buck opponents. You know, maybe Vita thinks that at some points, and I think it's true, at some points in the game, they do take their foot off the pedal, Lee. We've seen it time and again.
Seems like it, yeah.
We like to shake up this show on occasion, so I might as well do it right now. Is it ludicrous? I love that word. Mick Puglisi used to say that. Ira, nobody else uses that word, and you write it all the time in your copy. Because I was covering a lot of bad Buck teams, and I was using the word ludicrous, in my game stories. But is it ludicrous to suggest their most consistent defensive back has been Ross Cockrell? Is that crazy?
Oh, I'm beyond crazy.
I'm going to have to say no, Ira, considering that Winfield has missed two games. Whitehead, has been a little up and down. The other guys have missed time. Cockrell's been a steady force. He had a bad game or two, but otherwise he's been pretty steady for what he can deliver. No one's going to confuse him with a number one corner, but more often than not...
There's someone that'll confuse him. I've read it already.
What you sent me, Lee. What was that thing?
I'm not going to call the guy out because I don't...
Don't use his name.
There was someone that suggested that Ross Cockrell looks like a young Hall of Famer. I'm like, come on. Calm down.
If you want to go with the word consistent, Ira, maybe that's good. But frankly, I haven't focused too much on him. I don't want to say that I'm happy that Richard Sherman blew a hamstring in the first series there. But I just think that people have been too focused with the name on the back of that jersey. And you know what? D. Delaney, I think he's played pretty well for D. Delaney, and he's probably on a better a chance of improving through a season than Richard Sherman, who I think is shot. But he'll probably be out the next two games, and then Sherman will get the benefit of the bye week, which is November 7th weekend for the Bucs, and he'll probably be back for later. But, I think the Bucs have held up incredibly well. Jamel Dean bouncing back after an early penalty and one of those big interference calls that you were talking about, Ira, and it was an ugly one, but he bounced back, and he's got the skills to, as we saw a couple of years ago, I mean, he's got the skills to break up a ton of passes and cover anybody. He just needs more consistency.
This is crazy. I mean, you couldn't possibly plan this. You couldn't write it. They throw the script out. Lee, this is the receiving corps. Lee, you got to listen to this. These are the receiving corps the Bucs have faced since losing in Los Angeles. New England can't name two guys. Philadelphia. Who's out there?
All these SEC receivers always screw up their names. But
Chicago, Allen Robinson's pretty good, but they don't have anybody to throw the ball. Washington, McLaurin, pretty good. Not much else. I mean, New Orleans, who's Winston throwing to? No, nobody knows these guys. See, this is one of the unbelievable gauntlets in reverse that I've ever seen.
It's an interesting way to look at it, Ira. The Eagles had Devonta Smith, who
yeah,
had
Devonta Smith. I always get him and Chase mixed.
Yeah, it was the name Lee was thinking of. And he had two very good games with a lot of targets in a row coming into the Bucs. And, you know, Dean did a great job shutting him down. And Miami has guys who can catch the ball. They just they weren't throwing the deep balls. And, you know, the Bucs did a pretty good job. But you still had Jacoby Brissett throwing for more yardage than anybody could imagine him actually throwing for. I hear you, Ira, but they're not getting tested against the top teams. And I think this goes to a bigger question is this soft schedule that the Bucs have, is this the kind of soft schedule that you think might make them less playoff ready when it comes time to get there?
Well, I think the schedule will toughen up, Lee, in December. You know, Buffalo's a whale of a team. I think you could argue they're the best team in the NFL. I think you can make a strong case for it.
Don't they have the biggest winning margins?
They do, but not even close. Not even close. And you're right. They're killing people. They whip KC, but good. And their defense is strong, and McDermott knows how to coach defense. So to Steve's point, and, you know, the Bucs, you know, you'd think they would get these guys back by December. Now, there's going to be some more injuries down the road. There will be. But some of these key guys will be back. So I understand Steve's point, fatten up, you know, on these lightweights, so to speak. But I think down the stretch they'll be playing better competition, and I think they'll be at their best. So they've already proven, Lee, with Brady, how tough they are down the stretch, and they got a good chance to do that again.
It's a new year, though. That's what everybody would tell you. Whatever happened the year before, it doesn't matter now. The trends are different. Hey, like Lee said earlier, offenses are attacking the Bucs completely differently. And so it's changed the whole defensive structure there. But as long as they can keep rushing the passer. And Ira, I wanted to ask you this. Rich Gannon, who I know you have a lot of respect for, he's back full-time on SiriusXM NFL Radio, the former MVP quarterback, and you know, played against the Bucs in the Super Bowl with the Raiders back in 2002 season. He was talking about Vea and Sue, and he put them, literally put them, among the all-time greats as far as a historic impact of a duo. And he wasn't just throwing a hot take out there. He's not really a hot take kind of guy. But he said that up the middle, the legendary Bears had Steve McMichael and Refrigerator Perry. And in 2000, the Ravens had Siragusa and Sam Adams. And he sees the same model, the exact same thing from Vea and Sue, and he puts them in that Hall of Fame kind of class as the ultimate duos based on the way they're playing and their talent level that we've seen in the NFL, and that he believes they drive the defense and they're much more valuable than the linebackers behind them. That's Gannon's take. What do you think about that, Ira?
Very intriguing. For what they are asked to do, and that's how you judge a player. For what they're asked to do, I think they're elite. How can you say they're not? Number one priority, without question, for those two, stuff the run. Well, Lee, nobody does it better. Nobody does it better. I mean, Golston's good against the run. But we're talking about, you know, the main gaps, running up the middle. Teams, as you said, Lee, teams have stopped even trying. They've stopped even trying. Now, in the grand scheme of things, Lee, I can't say that Ndamukong Suh is more valuable than Shaq Barrett. I can't go there, Lee. Not in the way the game's played these days. You got to move the quarterback off the spot. You know, that's not Sue's forte. You know, he's going to get 5 sacks, as will Vea. 5, 6. But for what they're asked to do, Lee, they're tremendous. And Sue's durability is fantastic. I mean, it's historic. Yeah. Lee, the guy never misses a game.
The Marshall that played for the Vikings never missed a game.
Jim Marshall.
Jim Marshall. That's like Jim Marshall-esque. I mean, didn't he play 20 years, never missed a game?
I think you're right. I know a lot of people think he belongs in the Hall, and he doesn't have a
he was.
No, he's not in there. Carl Eller is, and so is Alan Page, of course. But no Marshall. But Grant's flipping out over that, and I don't blame him. Steve, Sue came in the league in 2010, right before Gerald McCoy on the draft board. Steve, I think he's might have missed one game.
Two games. Suspension. Okay.
Yeah, suspension.
And Steve, of course, you know, we know that doesn't mean he's never been hurt. It just means he sucks it up.
Yeah.
He's tough. You know, and people love Vea. He's a big fan favorite. Some people think he's the second most important buck next to Brady. I'm not going there. I'm not going there. You know, you might say Donovan Smith. I mean, you might, because of virtue of his position. I could even argue Tristan Wirfs. I mean, I could. I'm not going there, but when Vea's in the game, Lee's mentioned it many times, and he's got the numbers to back it up. He makes a qualitative difference.
Absolutely. It's very interesting. Again, 50% of the snaps for Vea the other night. They took him out in the most important drive of the game. I don't understand it, but I guess I don't have to. Who cares? The guy's fun to watch. He's a beast, and maybe they're saving him for late in the season, which I certainly have no problem with whatsoever. Ira, I got to ask you about this, but first I got to remind everybody, Bill Curry Ford is where it's at, BillCurryFord.com. Prices for used vehicles right now, the trade-in value is extraordinary, and Bill Curry Ford is paying top dollar. You can get a price on their website, BillCurryFord.com. And GM Sean Sullivan wants to take care of you personally, even if it's that trade. Even if you want to say, hey, Sean, you know, I got this vehicle, I haven't gotten rid of it, and it's my third car, and I want to dump it. He will help you any way he can. And you can also check out video at BillCurryFord.com of the brand new dealership that's coming and that's under construction. It's incredible. They got a whole demo video up there of what the new generation of next generation service in the Tampa Bay area and the showroom. It's extraordinary. It's right there at BillCurryFord.com. Sage, OJ Howard, 6 catches, tied his career high, touchdown. He's looking good. The last 3 games, he has played more in each game than Cameron Brait. So I think it's fair to call OJ the number 2 tight end on this team. I believe they have the exact same number of catches now. OJ, are you impressed? You believe he's going to keep getting better? Has anything changed? Because last podcast, Ira, you said, I'm over this guy. I'm done with this OJ character.
I did. I slapped him around, Lee. I did. I said he will not be a buck in 2022. I still think the odds are remote that he will be. Because if Brady plays, that means Gronkowski's going to play. And that means Howard's number 2 at best. And I think Steve's right. Right now, I would consider him the number 2 guy. But he played well, Lee. I'm not going to say he did. He looked healthy. But I'm still not convinced, Lee. It's going to take more than one night, one good night in the city of brotherly love. I'm looking for consistency. I'm looking that he stays healthy. Long way to go, Lee. But he had himself a real good night against the Eagles.
I'm leaning toward you, Ira. I certainly would not say I was impressed. I am encouraged. The last 3 weeks, just increments, little steps, getting more playing time, making more of an impact. What Gronkowski does is impress. There's a couple other tight ends I could name, and they impress. Waller impresses me. Kittle impresses me. I wouldn't say Howard impressed me, but he's encouraging. I've been encouraged with his progress. There seems to be light at the end of the tunnel. I don't think he's 100% yet. He's getting there. As you like to quote Glazers, the arrow's pointing up.
The bar is very low for O.J. Howard. So in that respect, you know, he exceeded my expectations.
Ira, I demand to know, what did you eat at Big Storm watching the game with fans at the Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater on Thursday night, surrounded by your people outside? Good time. What did you eat and what did you drink?
Well, it was a little bit different, Steve. I had a little bite at the house before I left at about 7 o'clock to go down there. And whatever I ate, and this is there's certainly no reflection on my wife's cooking, Steve. Zero. I had an upset stomach, Isbits. But like a trooper, I got in my cherry red Ford Escape and made my way down there, where I immediately ordered a Coca-Cola at the bar, settle my stomach, which it did, and I gave it about 45 minutes to see if I'm puking all over the place, and I wasn't. So then I went for my tropical salad, which it's outstanding, gentlemen. It's just outstanding. You can add shrimp, chicken, whatever. I had it by itself. The dressing's great. So I went with that Big Storm tropical salad because I was worried about messing with my stomach. But there will be other times to go through that menu, and it is one heck of a menu.
All right. Well, Sage did not hit the beer because of his stomach issues, but fans across the Tampa Bay area have been drinking Bromosa and Bay Beer and Tropic Pressure Golden Ale and the Palm Bender IPA. All the Big Storm favorites can be found at BigStormBrewery.com. And, of course, it's in Publix and so many great establishments. Go to BigStormBrewery.com, pop in your zip code in their storm tracker. They'll tell you where to find the beer. Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Sage, we got another podcast coming up this week. It'll be very interesting. I'm not sure how the Bears, their backup running back ran very well. I forgot his name, but nobody can run in the Bucs. And I don't know, it feels like an Eagles game all over again, but we'll dive deeper into that later in the week. And Ira, look, as we sit here, Bucs fans are just, they're blown away. I know I am. The team has won 13 out of 14. The franchise has never been in this situation before. The talent base is loaded. Richard Sherman was on his podcast, and just they asked him about the team and the depth, and he just kind of got out of character a little bit and just said, look, there's friggin' first-rounders and all-decade players and Pro Bowlers and really good players who haven't achieved that status all over the roster. He's like, he basically said he's never seen anything like it. Bucs fans are just in a spot where, you know, they're expecting to win, and they're just sort of like waiting for that Bills game to roll around in some ways. I know I'm looking way ahead, but what's the state of Bucs fandom right now, Ira? What do people need to know as we say goodbye to you on this podcast?
I think we're a little spoiled at this point. You know, even the three of us, 5-1, and we're pointing out how much room for growth there is, which in its own way is encouraging. We haven't talked much about Antonio Brown. We'll talk about him later in the week, but the guy's playing at a fantastic level. You know, right now, he's the best receiver on the team, right now. That doesn't mean overall I take him over Mike Evans, but he's playing the best. Brady has incredible trust in him, and the way Fournette's playing. Lee, if I'm another defense, I don't know who to focus on. I just don't. Suppose you got a guy like Jalen Ramsey, or maybe a notch below, and the guy usually travels with the other team's best receiver. Lee, I don't even know who to put him on. I mean, usually they go with Mike Evans, but hey, I might be tempted to put him on Antonio Brown. It's a good problem to have, Lee, because every team that has all these options, Lee, they don't have a quarterback like Brady who knows how to utilize them. It's a beautiful marriage right now.
You look at the talent. I mean, goodness gracious, O.J. Howard, who's, you know, first-round talent, and some people thought he would be this otherworldly tight end, and he's a backup. I mean, the talent is crazy. Real quick, I don't believe this will happen. You mentioned the Bills. I don't believe this will happen only because, again, you got to think TV ratings. You can't think football purist. You got to think businessman. You got to think TV ratings. You got to think advertising. You got to think revenue. This guy was asking. He's a long time. He's been a reader for ours for at least a decade. He asked, when the Bucs play the Bills, will they get flexed into the Sunday night game, and will NBC flex out Packers and Bears? And I said, I doubt it. Because for NBC, that matchup, TV ratings-wise, is a gold standard. The Bears and the Packers, they always draw because of Chicago, because the Packers are a national team. I told them I doubt it. And that's way ahead. We're getting way ahead of ourselves. I think the Bucs will remain a 4 o'clock game.
I'm with you. The Bucs don't need another night game either, Steve. So I want to keep it the way it is.
It comes down to injuries and who knows the records at that point, but at least there's a chance that it could, if it's considered the ultimate marquee game, it's possible. It's possible based on the records and all that, but doubtful. I agree with you, Lee. Pretty doubtful. Ira, like you said, we'll dive more into Antonio Brown in the next podcast, but I had been looking up previously in his Pro Bowl seasons in Pittsburgh. percentage of offensive snaps for Antonio Brown, 91%, 96, 96, 90, 80, and 89. He's here in Tampa playing less than half the snaps. It's like a country club getaway for him. It's unbelievable that this guy is sitting on the bench and just coming in fully electric. Crazy, crazy times, Ira. All right, look, everybody, thanks for listening. Bill Curry Ford, official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast, is not Bill Curry Ford. It's Big Storm Beer. BillCurryFord.com is where you shop for a vehicle. And as we heard before, any issue in your home, any issue with a disaster, Florida's Elite Restoration, they're there for you 24/7. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Get your free assessment today.